Hands with the first next to you. Let's pray, and then we're going to get right into the Word. Father, we give you praise tonight for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And thank you, Father, for your Word. I just want to say publicly again how appreciative I am for your Word. Your Word has made the difference in my life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church, the revealer of truth. And tonight we look to Him, and I thank you, Father, in advance that because He lives within me, indwells me, that He will give me utterance and enable me to speak this Word boldly and accurately, and the people will not only hear it, but will hear it accurately. And I thank you, Father, that you are the God who confirms His Word with signs following. So we're expecting results tonight. We believe that you are here. You are here to manifest yourself in your glory, and we tap into that right now. Your Word declares that we are to enter into your presence with praise and thanksgiving. So we do so right now. We lift our hands and we worship you and we praise you. Go ahead and do it right now. Praise God. We just worship you, Father. We praise your name. And we thank you for your presence in this place. Your Word declares that in your presence is fullness of joy. So discouragement cannot stay. Depression cannot stay. Oppression cannot stay. Your Word declares that in your presence the avenger, Satan himself, is stopped and stilled. So therefore I believe that every assignment that he might have brought against anyone in this room, it ends right now in Jesus' name. In your presence, we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, you receive it. Give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Would you open your Bibles, first of all, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. For several weeks now, even before the West Coast Believers Convention, and then while we were there, it kept rising up in me. Dennis Burke and I left Long Beach. Dennis, wave your hand, Dennis. Dennis is my riding buddy. Dennis and I left Long Beach on motorcycles and rode all the way to Colorado, and then we rode them from Colorado back to Fort Worth. And going across that Mojave Desert, I had a lot of time to think about this. I just couldn't write anything down. I was riding a motorcycle. And then when I got home from that trip, it's still been running around in me. And the more I thought about it, the bigger it has gotten. And so finally I stopped what I was doing and started giving some quality time to the studying of it, and got so excited about it that I could hardly wait, because I sensed in my spirit that this was the place that God wanted me to deliver it first. And so I believe you're going to hear something tonight that's right hot off the press. Hallelujah. And I believe that it's going to affect you the same way it has me. Now, I would like to say that if you, as Jesse has been teaching, if you have become genetically altered, you'll have a hard time receiving this. If you keep a religious mind on, you'll have a hard time receiving it. But the majority of us in here, we're believers. We're people of faith. We crave revelation, praise God. And so I'm going to ask you to keep your minds open, your spirit open. Let any man that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I'd like to propose something to you. I've already asked Brother Copeland to critique it afterwards. I told Brother Jesse, critique it afterwards. And but I believe, praise God, that we're going to tap into some exciting things. So, let's look at Acts chapter 3 and begin reading in verse 19. Yeah! I knew that was coming. Verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Underline that phrase, the times of restitution of all things. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, you may not get the full impact of that just by reading it from the King James. So there's a couple other translations I want to read that I believe will help us. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain. Everybody say retain. See, Jesus couldn't come into the earth until certain things had been fulfilled. Paul, picking up on this, wrote in the book of Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Now, no matter how much somebody in the earth may have wanted him to come, and no matter how desperately Jesus may have wanted to come, he could not come. Heaven retained him until the fullness of time. Would you agree with that? I believe it's also telling us that he cannot make his appearance, which we are all looking for, until certain things have been fulfilled. That heaven is holding him back. You know, I really don't picture Jesus completely seated at the right hand of God right now. I think he's in a stooped or almost standing position, looking back at the Father and saying, when? Is it about time? Because he himself said, no one knows except the Father. Amen? I believe he's ready. But there's still a few things that have to be fulfilled before heaven will release him. Now, notice once again in the Amplified, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration. Now notice the Amplified uses the word restoration, where the King James used the word restitution. All right? Until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. Now I want to read one other translation, the Message translation. And it says that heaven is retaining him until everything is restored to order again. Until everything is restored to order again, just the way God, through the preaching of his holy prophets of old, said it would be. Now I want you to focus on the word order. Everybody say order.
Order.
That heaven is retaining Jesus until everything is restored to order again, just the way that God said that it would be. So this is simply telling us once again that Jesus cannot make his appearance into the earth until certain things have been fulfilled. Even though we are closer to his appearance than we've ever been. Hallelujah. Even though no other generation has ever been closer to the appearing of Jesus than you and I are, it's not yet. It's not likely that he will make his appearance before morning. Now, God could speed up everything, and I'm all for that. But that would mean that some things that haven't yet been restored to order would have to be restored to order by morning. So there's still some things that have to be restored to order. Look at your neighbor and say, the key word is order. Okay? Now, most theologians agree, and I consider Billy a theologian, praise God. Would you agree, Billy, that more Bible prophecy has been fulfilled since the rebirth of Israel as a nation in 1948?
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. So we know we're closer. We're the generation that could usher in King Jesus. Hallelujah. I personally am not planning for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Hallelujah. And in case you're wondering, Jerry, are you pre, mid, or post-tribulation? Let me just say it this way. I plan to check out on the first load. I believe we're going through it all, brother. Well, you're going to get exactly what you believe for. Be it unto thee according to thy faith. If you want to hang around for all that mess, help yourself. You can have my car and my house for 7 years, and then I'm coming back for it. Okay? So once again, we know that we're getting closer. How many of you just sense in your spirit that we're getting closer? I mean, all you have to do, don't spend too much time doing this, but all you got to do is turn on CNN, see what's going on around the world. And it is obvious we're getting closer to the appearing of Jesus. More earthquakes, more famines, more pestilence. Some of the signs of the end, so to speak. So we're getting closer. Look at your neighbor and say, we're getting closer. In fact, things are accelerating. And God is getting ready to set the stage for the greatest event in the history of mankind, next to the death and resurrection of Jesus himself, and that is the appearing of our Lord to catch us up in the air. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I got my house in order. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So once again, let's look at this phrase, particularly from the Message translation. Until everything is restored to order again. Everybody say, restored to order. Now let me give you some definitions for the word order. Because if we're waiting for things to be restored to order, what are we talking about here? I'm a stickler for definitions. I don't trust myself in thinking that I know what something means. I'm always one of my favorite books that I keep next to my Bible when I'm studying my Noah Webster 1828 edition dictionary. Not only gives definitions, but scripture references. And so, what do we mean by order? If heaven is retaining Jesus, in other words, he can't make his appearance until everything has been restored to order, just like God said it would be, then what are we talking about here? What do we mean by order? Number one, it means a law of arrangement. A law of arrangement. Number two, it means a fixed or definite plan. A fixed or definite plan. Number three, an established method or system. Now that one I want you to write down and underline. An established method or system. And then number four, proper arrangement of things. That's order. And God is going to restore to order. And once things have been restored to order, then heaven will release him and we're out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen? Now, you could say it this way. Here's my definition. When things are brought back the way God originally designed them to work. When things are brought back the way God originally designed them to work. Now, when you're talking about order, are bringing things back to the way God originally designed them to work, then you got to go back to the book of Genesis.
That's right.
So go back to Genesis chapter 1, because Genesis means origin. And let's take a look at some order. And here's where you need to open your spirit real big. All right? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created. And now, we're not going to take the time to read all of those verses. You've read them many times. These verses talk about creation, God being the author of creation. I believe we all in here agree with that. Let me read to you what one theologian said regarding these verses. God, before all these things that now attract our notice existed, imagined the world such as it ought to be, and then created matter in harmony with the form that He wanted it to be. Let me read that again. God, before all these things that now attract our notice, in other words, before anything that you could see was created, God imagined the world such as it ought to be. In other words, He saw it on the inside before it ever happened on the outside. Are you with me? He imagined the world such as it ought to be, and then created matter in harmony with the form that He wanted it to be. Now, Isaiah 40:12 verifies that, because it says that God comprehended the earth before He formed it. In other words, God saw it on the inside. To comprehend is to grasp, to get a mental picture of. God didn't just, show up one day and say, I think I'll just create something. What should I create? How about universe? Earth. Before He created earth, He had comprehended its form. He comprehended. He had a mental picture of what earth was to be like. And in His mind, it was to be a carbon copy of heaven. Can you say amen? Somebody say, a carbon copy of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In the book of Proverbs, it says, through wisdom and knowledge, God created the world. So God apparently spent some time, I don't know how much time, but apparently He spent some time visualizing, imagining, imaging, thinking about, comprehending, creating a mental picture of the earth before He ever spoke it into existence. That tells us that maybe the reason we're so out of order is we talk before we think. That's not my sermon, but just a little footnote. But that might be your sermon. God thinks before He speaks. That's a lesson we should learn. Amen. Now, God followed a plan. God had a blueprint. He had a plan. And every time He said these words, as it's written in the King James, let there be, another part of that plan was coming to pass. Let there be. Not only was another part of that plan coming to pass, but once it came to pass, He told it what to do. Or in other words, He gave it an assignment. He created order. Let me give you an example. Look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. And God made two lights, two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now notice right there where He tells us that the greater light had a job, the lesser light had a job. What's He doing? Establishing order. Are you with me?
Yes.
He was establishing order. The lesser light didn't interfere with the greater light. The greater light didn't interfere with the lesser light. They both had an assignment. They both knew their jobs. They both understood the order of God. And they functioned that way. Now, another example of this is found in that same chapter in verse 28 and 29. Without us taking the time to read it all, you know what it says, but it says that God gave man dominion and authority. And then in verse 28, and he says, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed." And at the end of that verse, it says, "And it shall be meat for you." Another translation says that it will be your what you are sustained by. In other words, God is creating order. He says, "I give you dominion and authority, and then I give you seed. And with that dominion and with that seed, I'm giving you the privilege of determining your own outcome by exercising that authority and planting seeds." That's order. So seed time and harvest did not come after the curse. Seed time and harvest came before the curse. And some of you think it's a curse, but it's not. Amen? This was order. This is the way God expected man to have his life sustained. He was to be a sower of seed from the very beginning. See, this is not some new Oral Roberts teaching. Oh, yeah, Oral Roberts was the one who came up with that. No, he didn't. Well, he did, too. He wrote a book on the miracle of seed faith. Yeah, he did, but he didn't come up with it. He got it from God. Amen. God intended for man from the very beginning to have his life sustained by the seeds that he sows.
Amen.
And his attitude is, nobody can dictate your outcome, only you by the seeds you sow.
Amen.
That's the order of God. Amen. Amen? The government has no right determining your outcome nor your income. Or your outcome or your destiny, nor does it have the right to determine what your income will be. You have been given the authority to be a seed sower. Amen?
Amen.
And based upon how you appropriate that law and order will determine your outcome, your destiny, your quality of life. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm a seed sower." Amen. Sowing seed is the order of God. It is not an Oral Roberts teaching. It is not a Kenneth Copeland teaching, a Jesse Duplantis teaching. It is the order of God, and these men just happened to teach it. Not only teach it, but live it. Hallelujah. Now, can you see the order that's being established here? Let's remember what I said about one of the definitions of order, an established method. An established method or system. So God's the one who gives the order. You and I are the ones who are to follow the order.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I don't have the right to change God's order.
That's right.
But I do have the right to exercise it, to appropriate it, and expect the same results that he got.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, the verses I want us to look at in particular here are verses 11 and 12. Would you go back to verses 11 and 12? And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." Everybody say the last four words loud. "And it was so." Say it again. "And it was so." My question. When God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself," how long did it take for that to happen? Did God wait around years?
Did he wait around months? Did he wait around days? God said it, and it was so. God is establishing order. You could call it the law of first mention. It's a Bible, you know, interpretation law. The law of first mention. When God mentions it the first time, it becomes law. It's method. It's the way God does things. It's what Jesus was referring to when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." The Amplified says, His way of doing and being right. God's way of doing things is He speaks it and it comes to pass. Are you with me? Now, this is really interesting. I have a collection of books that I started collecting a number of years ago, and they send me one about every month or so. And they are called The Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture. Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture. And in it, and this is a compilation of several theologians who give what they believe the Holy Spirit is saying about these particular verses. And so far, I haven't found anything that I don't agree with, praise God. I mean, they're awesome. Here's what one theologian said about this verse. The earth did not of itself produce plants that were hidden or out of view or under the surface when God said that. In other words, when God said, "Let there be grass," grass wasn't already hidden in the earth and suddenly came up. Herbs were not, you know, under the surface somewhere, and when God said, "Let them be," and they just sprung up. Listen to what this says. The earth did not of itself produce plants that were hidden or out of view or under the surface. Rather, the plants were created by and through the Word coming out of the mouth of God. And even though they were only, listen to this, boy, this excites me. Even though they were a moment old at their creation, they appeared as if they were months and years old. They appeared in their mature or fully ripened state. Glory to God. Oh yeah, that tears up evolution, Jesse said. Now listen to that. They appeared in their mature or fully ripened state. Later, grain came from the ear. Not the ear came from the grain. In other words, that answers the question, which came first, the corn or the kernel? The corn. The corn. When God said, "Let there be," it was so. And what he saw standing there in front of him was crops that were fully mature. Didn't take years, didn't take months, didn't take weeks. Here's what I kept hearing in my spirit. There was no time lapse between the sowing of the seed and the harvesting of the crop. That's order. That's God's divine order. Now, if indeed Adam was created in the image of God, and we know he was, and if Adam indeed had the nature of God, and we know he did, and if God put in Adam his very faith, and we know he did, then would it stand to reason that Adam should have got and expected and got the same results? Yes, sir. There was no time lapse between "let there be" and "there was." Like I believe in the little Hebrew where it says light, in the King James, "let there be light" and "there was light." It's just simply Light being light was. You didn't even have time to think about it. It just came. Light be and light was. Right here in the King James, we see this phrase frequently while God's creating. And it was so. But in the complete Jewish Bible, it says, and that's how it was. I love that. And that's how it was. Hallelujah. God said, let there be grass, and that's how it was. Let there be herb-bearing seed, and that's how it was. Hallelujah. God said it, and it was so. God planted a seed through His Word, and the harvest was immediate. No time lapse. Give the Lord a shout. Praise God. He didn't have to wait years. He didn't wait months. He didn't wait days. The Scripture says, and it was so. And not only did it say it was so, but it also said, and it was good. So when God saw what He just did, He said, that's good. In other words, He was pleased with the order. Not just pleased with the results, but pleased with the order. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God didn't say, not King's X, that's not the way I wanted that to work. He saw the results. He was pleased with the results. But He was also pleased with the order that was being established. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right now. I know if I spoke words of faith, and every time I did, they all came to pass immediately, you know what would come out of my mouth next? It was good. Wouldn't you? I mean, if you spoke words of faith, and the moment you did, it all came to pass as it left your lips, wouldn't you be saying, now that was good. Woo, that was good. All right, some of you turned your religious head back on. Turn it off. You can see where I'm going, but some of you ain't ready to go there. The front row is. Anybody else ready? Okay. Could it be that speaking it and then being able to immediately say, now that's good. Could it be that that's divine order? Could it be that we're supposed to be getting results much faster than we are? I'm going to ask that question again. Could it be that we're supposed to be getting results much faster than we are? You might be thinking, but that only works for God. Well, wait a minute. What about Jesus? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but He was the Son of God. Yes, He was. But listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, the Amplified Version. Jesus, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, stripped Himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so to assume the guise of a servant in that He became like men and was born a human being. Now, as we follow the ministry of Jesus, He said, I do nothing except I first see my Father do it. I say nothing except I first hear my Father say it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, obviously, Jesus understood divine order. And you know that He was going to base His entire ministry on divine order. Amen. So, yes, He was the Son of God, but He was also a man. A man who understood divine order. And even though divine order had gotten out of order, so to speak, because of Adam's sin, it didn't keep Jesus from acting on it. Just because this world's gone nuts, that doesn't mean that you and I can't still live our lives by divine order. Are you with me? So that makes him like us. However, I don't see Jesus waiting years and months and days for something to come to pass when it comes out of his mouth. Could it be that what we see in the ministry of Jesus as we read the Gospels, that it's portraying divine order and the way that our lives should be conducted? Amen. Of course it was. Let's look at a few examples here for a moment. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You're going to like this. Matthew chapter 8, by the way, the title of my sermon is Restoration and Acceleration. Restoration and Acceleration. Matthew 8. Let's begin in verse 1. When he, speaking of Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Everybody say, immediately. Immediately. Underline or highlight the word immediately. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Just a few examples here. Let's look at beginning in verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed out, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked him because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Everybody say, immediate results. Would you agree that's what we've seen so far? Immediate results. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto him. So notice it looks like that Jesus gets immediate results. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And let's look at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a leper of the synagogue. A ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into the house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. Now notice, Jesus keeps getting these immediate results. Yeah, but he was the Son of God. Paul said he was a man. Yes, he was the Son of God. But Paul said he came as a man. He stripped himself of all of his divine privileges, and he came as a man operating under divine order. And divine order produced immediate results. Are you still here? Yeah. Now, another phrase you see in the Bible is this phrase, was healed in the self-same hour. And the Amplified defines self-same hours at that very moment. Hallelujah. At that very moment. Now, I know this kind of results has everything to do with highly developed faith. I also know that it has everything to do with developing and perfecting patience. Gloria taught on patience. I know it also has everything to do with becoming faithful. But some of us have been doing these things for 40 years now or more. In fact, Brother Copeland said to Happy and Jeannie and Vicki and Dennis and Gloria and Carolyn and me on a time of fellowship together here in the last few days. He said, do you realize that in the Bible, a generation is not 100 years, it's 40 years. We've been doing this for a generation now. I got a generation of experience. Hallelujah. Now, let me make a comparison here. When I was in the automotive business as a paint and body man, starting out as a young boy, my dad taught me how to work on wrecked cars because that's what he did and that's what I wanted to do. When I first started, it took me longer to get the same results that my dad got because I didn't know as much as him. I didn't have the experience he had. I was going through a learning process. I was being trained. But you know, there came a time. Didn't happen overnight, but there came a time where this clicked on the inside of me. I could see what to do when the car came into my shop, when they put it into my shop. My dad told me that before he ever started working on a car, he visualized first the end result. I didn't understand that when he first told me. He said, son, the first thing I do, I don't look at the wreck part of that car. I look at the finished product, and then I start going to work on it. And when my dad picked up a peck hammer, every blow counted. I mean, in a matter of time, I don't care how bad it was, he got the desired results. Now, for me to do that same car, when I didn't have the expertise, the training, the experience that he had, it took me a lot longer. I eventually got it done, but it took me longer. But there came a time when, if you see Jerry Jr., you saw Jerry Sr. In other words, his anointing came on me. And it didn't take me as long anymore to get the job done as it did when I first started. Before I opened my own business, I worked for dealerships and we worked on commission. Body men worked on commission. We got 45% of the job. If you brought a car in there and it cost $800 to repair it, that included the parts. They took the parts out of that price. And then whatever the profit was, I got 45% of that. Obviously, the more cars that I repaired in a week's time, the bigger my paycheck was. Now, at 10 years into this, if I still was not getting the kind of results that my dad was, I'd better go find another job. Right. Particularly working on commission. You understand what I'm saying? So, over a period of time, because I was educating myself, I was learning, I was observing, I was going to workshops, I watched everything my daddy did. If he hired a body man and they were, he'd say sometime, that guy's as good as I am. He better than me. You watch him. I watched him like a hawk. And then over a period of time, I'm noticing, man, I'm turning out jobs just as quick as my daddy could do it. And my paycheck was going up. Okay? Well, I've been at this 40 years now. Hey, I'm an expert in the art of standing.
Hallelujah.
If there's any one thing this boy knows how to do, it's having done all the stand.
There you go.
Patience.
Come on.
Dear God, I'm patient. I have highly developed patience. Faithful, there's no turning back for me. Quit's not an option for me. Now, you would think after 40 years of doing this that I ought to be getting some quicker results than I did when I first started in 1969. That's divine order.
That's right.
My harvest ought to be coming to pass a lot quicker than it did when I first started. I know more about it. I got more experience. I believe that God is in the midst of restoring divine order.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I believe there are people in here that you grab hold of this, you're going to see some results come to pass in your life a whole lot quicker than you've been seeing in days past. I believe some of you are on the verge of seeing some harvest come a whole lot quicker than you've ever experienced before. I've noticed here lately that I'm getting quicker returns on my seeds than I ever have before. In fact, there's been a few times I've got a harvest almost before I could get the seed out of my hand. And I sense the Holy Spirit just saying, I'm just showing you what's coming. I'm showing you what's coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is being held back until the restoration of all things. Now, let's take on this since we all are very familiar with Mark the 11th chapter. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. We know that there are other translations that say, have the faith of God. And another that even says, have the God kind of faith. Now, if Jesus is commanding us to have the God kind of faith, then would it be wrong for me to expect, if I have the God kind of faith, that somewhere down the line I ought to get the God kind of results? Amen? God said it and it was so. I just don't believe that that's going to ever happen to me. It won't happen to you, ugly. Because I can't believe that's in the way. But I'm not going to let it stand in my way. You mean to tell me you really believe that there's coming a time when we'll say it and it'll come to pass? Well, isn't that the God kind of faith? I said, isn't that the God kind of faith? Isn't that the divine order we saw in Genesis? Then why not? The only thing that's holding us back from this is genetically altered religion, Bible. The religious head can't grasp this. The carnal-minded Christian can't grasp this. Half the church world can't grasp it. But it's divine order. Are you with me? Now listen to this. Many of us, as I mentioned earlier, have been in this for a generation now. Anybody that's been in this 40 years or more, hold up your hand. We are senior faith citizens. What'd you say, General Jerry? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 40 years. 40 years. Why should I not expect that after 40 years of doing this, that I can't get quicker results in my last days? Amen. Hey, I'm willing to stand. I've proven that for 40 years. I'm willing to be patient. I've proven that for 40 years. I am willing to remain faithful. I have proven that for 40 years. You ask anybody that knows me well, quit is not an option. I don't have to prove whether I'm going to be committed or not, as Creflo was talking about this afternoon. I'm committed. That I settled that a long time ago. Amen. There's not some other way for me. There's not another teaching for me. There's not another gospel for me. This is it. This is all I know, and it worketh, and I'm sticking with it. Amen. And it's getting better and better and better and better. And I believe it's headed for faster and faster and quicker and quicker. Because I believe God is accelerating things.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe we're headed for some acceleration. God is restoring divine order. And things that seem to have taken forever in times past are not going to take forever anymore. Hallelujah. Lay hold upon it. All right? Let me ask you to go to Psalm 31. Let's start believing tonight for what I'm going to call, I wrote down in my notes, what I'm going to call more suddenlies and more speedilies. Look at somebody and say, I'm believing for more suddenlies and more speedilies. Tell somebody else, I'm believing for more suddenlies and more speedilies. All right, now, go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. How am I doing, Jesse? All right. Look at verse 2. No, I didn't get that right. Look at Psalm 69. Yeah, I got it. Verse 2. Psalm 31, verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me, the psalmist says, a psalm of David, and deliver me speedily. David believed in quick results. Bow down thine ear to me, this is a prayer to God, and deliver me speedily. Go to Psalm 69. Look at verse 17. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. He said, I'm in trouble, and I need for you to hear me speedily. Psalm 102. Psalm 102 and verse 2. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. You say, that's all Old Testament. Okay, go to Luke 18. Luke 18. You know the story of the woman that went to the unjust judge. You know the story there. And then Jesus in this illustration says in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Everybody say speedily. That doesn't sound like years and months and days to me. Sounds like it comes under the same category as immediately to me. Same hour. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And Isaiah 58 verse 8 even talks about that your health will come forth speedily. How many of you could use some health speedily? Well, the Bible says you can have it. Your health will come forth speedily. Now, here's a good one. Go to Psalm 118. Just a little bit different wording, but same meaning. Psalm 118, and look at verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. How many could use some prosperity right now? You know what the word now means? At this present time, at this very moment, at once. Somebody say, send prosperity now. That means at this present time, this very moment, at once. Hallelujah. Well, I just don't think God could do that. Well, then you just need to go hang out with God more. One day, the children of Israel were, you talk about broke, they were broke. But when he delivered them out of Egypt, prosperity came speedily. They stripped the Egyptians of all their silver and their gold. One moment they were broke. One moment they are in total bondage. And then something happened. Like the psalmist said, it was like a dream. Amen. Prosperity came on them. He's telling us that it is possible that we can have some things start happening in our lives speedily. And I believe that this also includes the sowing of our seed and harvest. I believe God's about to accelerate things. Why? Because He's ready to send Jesus. God wants to take us out of here, praise God. He's ready to wrap things up. But divine order has to be restored. Now, go with me to the book of Amos for a moment. Amos, chapter 9. If this is not acceleration, I don't know what is. Amos, chapter 9. And look at verse 13. Behold, the days come. Now, you're not there. I see pages turning. Amos, Old Testament. You don't know where it is? Look in the index. I had to earlier today. Go ahead. I'm kidding. It was yesterday I looked in the index. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the reaper of grapes him that soweth seed. Did you see that? Now I realize this is a prophetic word for Israel. Israel's fortunes to be restored, my Bible says. But I believe as Israel goes, so goes the church.
Amen.
And notice here he says, the days will come. Well, how much longer we got to wait for this? The days will come when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. That sounds like to me that there will come a time when our harvest will manifest almost before you can even get the seed in the ground. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That sounds like an acceleration to me. Sounds like to me that comes under the category of restoration of divine order. Because when God said it, it was so. That's how it was. When God planted that seed of His Word, then the grass was in full maturity. The plants were in full maturity. The plains were covered with crops in full maturity. Amen. There was no time lapse. And God is restoring all things even as I speak. We are in days of restoration, praise God. Hallelujah. And divine order is coming back. And those of us who've made up our mind a long time ago that we will stand, and having done all, will stand. And those of us who decided a long time ago that we will develop and perfect patience. And those of us that decided that we will be faithful and quit is not an option, The Bible says that there is great reward for not casting away your faith. And I believe the reward is quicker results. That's part of it. Quicker results. Faster results. I used to say my name is Jerry, having done all to stand Savelle. But now you can call me Speedily. Hallelujah. Speedily, praise God. Speedy Gonzalez, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm believing for more and more suddenlies and speedilies. Anybody else want to agree with me? Lift both hands and say, I'm ready for divine order. I'm believing that my faith, since it's God kind of faith, is going to get the same kind of results that God gets with His faith. I believe that I am rapidly heading for suddenlies and speedilies. And give the Lord your best shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, when I read Amos 9:13, my first thought is, if we're headed for this, then I'm going to get all the seed in the ground that I possibly can. That's my attitude. Boy, if we're headed for acceleration, then let's get all the seed in the ground that we possibly can. This is not the time to withhold seed. This is the time to be sowing like you've never sown before. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Notice scatter. This guy's scattering seed. His attitude is not, well, I sowed last week. Man, he's scattering seed. That's your attitude. Should be your attitude tonight. God's accelerating things. He's about to cause the harvest to come almost before you can get the seed in the ground. So get all the seed in the ground that you possibly can. Now listen at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6 from the Amplified Version. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hands. For you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. I like to say it this way. Keep on sowing because you never know the next seed you sow may break the barrier. Keep on sowing because the next seed you sow could cause the dam to burst and the floodgates to open. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? This is not the time to be withholding seed. This is the time to get all the seed in the ground that you possibly can. Why? Because we're living in days of restoration and we are living in days of acceleration. Now, perhaps this acceleration of harvest could come under the category of something Joel said by the Holy Ghost in Joel 2:30. God said, I will show wonders. In the last days, I will show wonders. Could it be that accelerated harvest comes under the category of wonders? What's a wonder, Brother Jerry? Like Brother Copeland says, anything makes you say, I wonder how that happened. That's a wonder, praise God. Amen. I remember, it's been a time ago. I was preaching at Billy Joe Daugherty's church. And after the service, I was instructed by the Lord to lay hands on people and to speak increase into their lives. And there was a couple standing in the line who were very dear friends of mine, partners with my ministry. I also knew that they were partners with the Copeland ministry. They were partners with Kenneth Hagin's ministry. They were tithers in their local church. These were people that sowed all the time. And when they came up there, I was a little surprised that they were in the line. And so I just, when I walked in front of them, I just stood in front of them and I put my arms around he and his wife both. I turned my mic off so the audience couldn't hear. And I said, what's going on? And they started crying. I said, Brother Jerry, we are going through the worst time we have ever experienced in our lives. Said, our finances Our business, they own businesses and supported the gospel big time. Our businesses are suffering. Our finances personally are suffering. We have never gone through a time like this. And I said, that's not right. You people are tithers. I know that you're partners with several ministries. You're partners with my ministry. That is not right. That is not order. The Bible says, "A man, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." It also says that if you sow generously, then you ought to be reaping generously. That's divine order. And so it really the compassion of Jesus just started really flowing through me toward them. And I remember praying this prayer. I don't think I'd ever prayed a prayer quite like this before. I held them in my arms like this. And I said, "Lord, as a favor to me, deliver my friends and partners out of this financial crisis." And then I went on and started ministering and addressed the people. Turned my mic back on, went on, ministered, addressed the people. I came home after the service, flew home after the service that night. I think it wasn't that morning. I think it was later that afternoon, just a matter of hours later. I get a call from them. I said, "Brother Jerry, we cannot begin to tell you the breakthroughs we've had since last night." I said, "I'm telling you, it's like the dam burst. Our finances are back up and better than ever before." And they just went on and on shouting and praising God and telling me about the results. When we got off the phone, I said, "Lord, how come you to do that so quickly? I mean, I believe what I pray, I'm going to get results, but not that fast." If you're not careful, you get into that kind of mindset. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not careful, you'll think, "Okay, I pray, get ready for a battle. Get ready to have to stand for at least 6 months." I said, "How come you to do that so quick?" He said, "That's my nature. I'm light, and light is fast." Hallelujah. I think it's time that you and I raise our faith to another level and start believing that we can have some suddenlies and some speedilies. Hallelujah. Amen. Say it again. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm expecting.
I'm believing
for some suddenlies and some speedilies in the name of Jesus, and give him a good shout. Now listen to this. Just before God said through Joel, "I will show wonders," in verse 25, he said about the wonders in verse 30, but in verse 25 he said, "And I will restore." Notice God said, "I'm going to restore and I'm going to do wonders." We are in the days of restoration. And I believe we've entered into days of acceleration, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, in Isaiah chapter 60. Turn there with me. Isaiah chapter 60. My Bible heading says, "The Dawn of Zion's Glory." Now, yes, I understand that this can be prophetic about Israel. What about a double meaning? What about the church? The body of Christ? "Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles," listen to this, "shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." And then verse 5 says, "And then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." And in the Amplified, the abundance of the sea and the forces of the Gentiles is translated abundant wealth. He's talking about a wealth transfer here. I said he's talking about a wealth transfer. Amen. But then, I want you to look in the last part of the last verse of that same chapter. The last part of the last verse. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. The Amplified says, I, the Lord, will hasten it in its appointed time. Hallelujah. What does hasten mean? It means to hurry it up, to speed it up, and to cause it to come faster. What's God saying? I'm ready to do some suddenlies. I'm ready to do some speedilies. I prophesied this years ago, but I am ready to speed things up. I'm ready to hurry things up. I am ready to cause some things to happen faster than you've ever seen before. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout if you believe it. It also means, the word hasten also means to accelerate. Say, God's accelerating some things. And then I'll close it with these verses. Jeremiah 1:12. Then said the Lord to me, I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word to perform it. God is wanting to hurry it up, speed it up, and cause it to come to pass faster. And I believe that you and I have entered in to days of restoration and days of acceleration. If you believe it and you want it, give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up and give your praise to God right now. Hallelujah. Hey, don't go around saying, I don't see how that could happen to me. Just dare to believe it. Cast those thoughts down and speak words of faith. Tell yourself, I have the faith of God. I have the God kind of faith. Go around telling yourself that all the time. I have the faith of God. I have the God kind of faith. Go around declaring divine order is being restored in my life. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm supposed to be getting quicker results. And I believe I'm going to have them from here on out. Come on, give the Lord another shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody in here, let's do what these people are doing right now. Let's get our seed together. If you need an offering envelope for it, hold your hand up. The ushers will give you one. Get your check out. Everybody in here, sow something. Let's act on this, praise God. If God is accelerating things, then let's get all the seed we can get in the ground right now, praise God. Come on, let's do it. Don't wait on anybody else. Get your check written. I came prepared. I got my check. I'm sowing it, praise God. We're not going to pass the containers. Just get up and come on down here and get some seed in the ground. And let's believe for acceleration. Let's believe for suddenly and speedily. Guys, would you come and let's worship the Lord. Let's have some acceleration kind of music. Amen. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a shout as you're coming. Give the Lord a shout as you're coming. Praise Him. Hallelujah. We're believing God for acceleration. Somebody shout, suddenly. Suddenly. Hallelujah. Let's stretch our faith. Let's go to the next level. Let's believe for divine order to be restored in our life of faith. Hallelujah. I know it's going to take a while to get everybody in here, but let's do it. I believe we ought to bring it, not just sit there and put it in a bucket. Get up on your feet, get up on your feet, and bring it. Come on.
Says the Lord, the Father, 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 the Father think of His goodness and what He's done for me. When I think of His goodness, how He set me free, I'm gonna sing, 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 sing all night. Hallelujah! I'm gonna sing, 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 sing all night.
Come on, let's
come on, somebody,
look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Just in time, Lord, I'm gonna praise His name. He said He just gonna save. Come on, we praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Listen up. Jesse and Kathy's ministry, and personally, received some of the quickest harvest on seed sown that I've ever known. So I'm going to have him pray over you right now. Let's tap into that anointing for suddenly and speedily. Amen?
I want you to open up your hands real wide because this is big stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We call heaven and earth record today that there's suddenly a sound of a rushing mighty tsunami of prosperity.
Hallelujah.
Coming our way. We decree and declare that it begins even as we pray this prayer.
Yes,
it
Lord.
Will go through the night and the next morning and the next day. And Lord, it will accomplish and set forth what we have believed.
Yes,
Lord,
Lord,
I decree and declare those that are watching by television, the internet, God, that the tsunami of blessing is coming and the devil cannot stop it.
Hallelujah.
30, 60, 100 folks, 1,000 times, Lord.
Hallelujah.
1,000 times, Lord, begin to come. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's financial. Lord, by the end of this meeting, let us all say we got to pray new prayers because everything we prayed is coming and has come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a great God bless you.
Look at somebody say, I'm expecting my suddenlies and my speedilies. I'm going to bed tonight fully expecting suddenlies and speedilies.